Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
There are still some crucial results still to come in the US midterm elections, but it's clear at this stage that this is no landslide for Republicans. At the moment, the Democrats and Republicans are on 48 seats each, and in the House, Republicans are currently ahead by 20 seats. One of the most significant wins for the Democrats was in Pennsylvania, where John Fetterman beat the Trump-backed candidate Mehmet Oz. Here's a clip from Fetterman's speech to his supporters.
I'm just so proud of the race that we ran. And, you know, this campaign has always been about fighting for everyone who's ever been knocked down, that ever got back up. This race is for the future of every community all across Pennsylvania, for every small town or person that ever felt left behind, for every job that was ever been lost, for every factory that was ever closed, for every person that works hard but never got ahead. I'm proud of what we ran on, protecting a woman's right to choose, raising our minimum wage, fighting the union way of life. Healthcare is a fundamental human right. It saved my life, and it should all be there for you when you ever should need it.
Saved his life. He's the candidate who had a very serious stroke in June of this year, just gone. Now, on the Republican side, Senator Lindsey Graham said on NBC that it was definitely not a Republican wave. When he was asked if Donald Trump's appearances actually hurt Republicans rather than helped, this was his response.
Not really. I think it was a referendum on Biden. You know, if we take back the House and we get the Senate majority, that's a very good night. A wave would have been like New Hampshire and Colorado. So, you know, you got hats off to the Democrats. They perform well in a lot of these swing districts. You know, a couple of days from now, we'll know better. But at the end of the day, guys, if we take the House and the Senate, we're going to have to sit down as a country and figure out what to do with it. Some unsolicited advice to President Biden. If we do take the House and we do take the Senate, let's all go to the border and see if we can find a way to fix it.
Well, I'm joined now by Marion McKeown, U.S. correspondent at the Business Post. And Marion, we'll begin with the states that are still in contention, the ones that are keeping this Senate race on a knife edge. Talk us through where this will be decided.
That's right, Claire. And I think that this election has turned out to be such a nail-biter that I think it's taken a lot of us by surprise. So Georgia is going to be critical. Now, it looks at the moment like Georgia will go to a runoff, which I think we mentioned when I spoke to you last, a December 6th runoff. If neither of the candidates gets more than 50% in Georgia, then, as I said, this runoff automatically kicks in. Now, at the moment, Raphael Warnock is very slightly ahead of Herschel Walker, who was the Trump-endorsed Republican candidate, the NFL footballer who had a lot of scandal and baggage that he brought with him. So I think that if a number of things may happen here. So Georgia is neck and neck between those two. Arizona, it looks like Mark Kelly, the Democratic candidate, is going to beat Blake Masters quite soundly, who was the far-right Republican challenger. And in Nevada, it also looks like Catherine Cortez Masto is going to beat another far-right challenger, Adam Laxalt. So this means that really, because John Fetterman won Pennsylvania, the Republicans have to pick up two out of three of the Democratic seats. And I don't know if they're going to get any of them. Basically, if the Democrats win Arizona and Nevada, then they've still got their 50 hold with you know, Kamala Harris. So the status quo doesn't change. And if that's the case, I'm not sure that Republicans will turn out in droves for Herschel Walker in December again, mm-hmm. because it will be moot. You know, the Democrats will have kept control of the Senate. And I think in that case, Democrats actually pick up a seat. They go up to 51. So it's fascinating, the dynamics and the potential way this could play out. And as I say, I think that for Fetterman, who and I think we've chatted about this before, is an enormously charismatic. To me, he's the new Bernie Sanders. He's going to be the heir to the Bernie Sanders mantle within the Democratic Party. The fact that he could beat Oz when he was recovering from a really serious stroke, which almost took his life back in June, and that he came back on the campaign trail, and he made a very moving speech tonight and was clearly quite overwhelmed and by the response. But the fact that he was able to come back and notwithstanding the terrible performance he put in the debate and still win with serious and justifiable questions about his health, I think really shows that, you know, a lot of Americans, they're tired of the chaos. They're tired of the chaos that Trump candidates are bringing with them as well, and that they just want a bit of normality. They just want a bit of politics as usual.
And we'll talk about the implications for Trump in 2024 in a minute. But just sticking with Arizona, Maricopa County, they had issues with their voting machines where the machines weren't registering 20% of votes cast at one point during the polling. Now, that is grist to the mill, isn't it, for the election results deniers?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, Carrie Lake, even as it was being explained that, look, four out of five votes are going through, but the fifth one isn't. However, what you do is you put it into a slot in the machine and it's counted anyway. And Carrie Lake immediately turned up and started saying, well, I hope this is just incompetence, but I don't think it is. Basically, I smell a rat here. And I think as the night went on in Arizona and as things started to really curdle a bit for the Republican slate, because again, remember, Claire, that we had Carrie Lake running for governor, we had Mark Fincham running for Secretary of State, who would effectively be in charge of all of Arizona's elections if he won. We then had Abe Hamada for Attorney General, and we had Blake Masters for Senate. They are all avid election deniers. They are all extremists, on the far right culturally, but also they, like when I was covering Carrie Lake, she had Steve Bannon on stage with her. She had Wendy Rogers on stage with her, who's a white nationalist. These people are openly associated with the Oath Keepers and QAnon. So had that slate won, it would have been really worrying. Now, only half of the Arizona votes, or a bit more than half, have been counted so far. But it's not looking good for any of them. And it looks like Arizona, the register of red states, could now flip completely blue. It could have a Democrat senator, a Democrat secretary of state, Democrat attorney general. And you know, I think this will be a real shock, because this was seen as real MAGA country, that the real MAGA fanatics were all hanging out in Arizona.
Can we take a closer look?
We'll see what way that one goes.
Let's take a closer look at the House now, because all 435 seats were up for election in the House too, and you need 218 to win a majority there. Does that still look as though it's going to go Republican?
I think it will. I think it'll be by a very narrow margin, maybe somewhere between, I'd say, 3 and 10 votes, but closer to the lower end of that. California has to come in. But one of the places that has proven tricky, and the results aren't fully in yet, is New York. The Republicans may pick up quite a few seats in New York, which is surprising on one level. And indeed, the chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, Sean Patrick Maloney, looks like he's going to lose his seat, notwithstanding that he now appears to have literally almost achieved the impossible by keeping so many Democrats in their seats. Now, just to give you a bit of context on this, in 2018, Donald Trump lost 40 House seats. Barack Obama lost 63 back in 2010. For the Democrats, at a time when inflation is skyrocketing, at a time when Americans are so divided and so unhappy about the way the country is going, for the Democrats to almost hold their own in the Senate is kind of astonishing. And I think it's a vindication of Joe Biden, who has been getting a lot of flack from, you know, Democrats as well as Republicans. But I think Biden's way of doing things now, people may look at it differently, that he has kept his head down and he's just kept doing the mundane stuff of delivering stuff for people in incremental levels, you know, healthcare, education, student loans, jobs, and the CHIPS Act, the Infrastructure Act, that kind of thing. It's not exciting, it's not dramatic, but it's that kind of steady sort of incremental gains for ordinary Americans. And it seems that Americans are now preferring that to the chaos, notwithstanding the inflation and the fact that, you know, Biden has done some things that have been questionable at best.
So back to Donald Trump then, and he's been chomping at the bit, hasn't he, to announce that he's running in 2024. You'd wonder today whether he'll be as eager to throw his name in the ring.
Well, I think this puts a whole new gloss on things, and one that doesn't favour Trump at all, because his big rival is, of course, Ron DeSantis. Now, Ron DeSantis is a hard guy to like, but he is very smart and he is very competent. He doesn't have the personality, and he certainly won't be able to have the cult of personality that Trump had, but he's the only person who's seen as being able to seriously challenge Trump at this juncture. Now, Trump yesterday told a bunch of journalists that if DeSantis decides to run, he said, well, then I know a lot of very unflattering things about him that I'm going to tell everyone. You really wonder, how old is this man? But it was a clear threat to DeSantis. Don't cross me. This is my pitch. Mm-hmm. But now I think that Republicans are going to have to look at this. You know, they had Trump as their candidate in 2016. In 2020, he lost the House, he lost the Senate, and he lost the White House. He made the midterm elections about him. He effectively made them a referendum on him and his candidates. And he's lost again, whereas DeSantis, by contrast, delivered the whole of Florida on a plate to the Republicans. He won decisively. Marco Rubio won decisively. All of the congressional seats were won decisively as well. So he has shown now that he can really deliver. And Trump has shown the opposite.
And Donald Trump said last night that if his candidates win, that's all going to be down to him. If they lose, it'll have nothing to do with him.
Well, then it's down to somebody else.
Now,
that's how it works.
Apart from what happened in Maricopa County, which we've discussed, the voting machines, did the elections run relatively smoothly?
Yes, they seem to have, by and large. There are always a couple of glitches here and there. There was one thing in Georgia that was alarming, where in Fulton County, there a mother and son who were working as poll workers. They were employed. They weren't just, you know, external volunteers who were watching the people cast their votes. It transpired that they were two of the people who were at the Capitol on January 6th, and they were identified by somebody, I believe, who went into cast their vote. I was talking to one of the people who were working in Fulton County on the elections. They said that they had managed to get jobs and nobody had realized that they were actually storming the Capitol. And they were there counting votes in Fulton County until they were spotted and obviously relieved of their duties very quickly. So there are always, no elections are perfect, but I think that by and large, these elections, people were holding their breath about possible violence even, and you know, that intimidation, threats, all that kind of thing. But so far, there have been glitches with machines here and there. There have been a couple of problems, but it seems that these elections have been efficiently run and have been peacefully run, which I think everybody is going to just take a big sigh of relief about.
Now, Marion, when we were talking here on the programme on Monday, I think there was a sharp intake of breath when you predicted that this might be the last free and fair election we see in the United States. Do you still feel like that today?
No, I feel that America has literally pulled back from the brink. And the reason I was saying that was there were five people running to become Secretary of State in five of the six swing states, all of whom had pledged in one way or another that if they were elected, and this was their main plank, that they would fix it so that Donald Trump was guaranteed to win in 2024. They were openly running on the slate that they would rig the elections for Donald Trump in 2024, and that was why you should vote for them. And of course, we have 341 election deniers running for Republican seats as well, and you know, in the Senate, in the House, and in key positions in various states. So it really did look alarming. But I think now none of these Secretary of States look like they're going to be that they're going to win their races. And the guy Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania, who is an out and out anti-Semite and a white Christian nationalist, he would have appointed the Secretary of State as governor for Pennsylvania. So you would have really had utter chaos in 2024 if these people had been elected. But as I say, it really seems that America looked at what was coming down the pipe there and kind of took a step back. And I think we should all be really grateful for that. Now, you know, it's early days. Things could still change, but I don't see now how Mark Fincham can become Secretary of State in Arizona, nor Jim Marchant in Nevada. And we already know that Christine Camaro in Michigan was soundly beaten for the Secretary of State job. And Gretchen Whitmer, who, of course, was the subject of a kidnap plot back in the early COVID days, won the governorship decisively against the Republican challenger. So I think overall, you know, I think sanity has prevailed, you know, if not entirely, then sufficiently.
Back from the brink. A couple of other interesting lines I just wanted to talk to you about. Beto O'Rourke was spoken about at one time as the next great hope for the Democratic Party. I remember reading very long articles about his background and his campaign. He was challenging the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, the Republican candidate. He lost again, or is projected to lose again.
Oh, yeah, he was trounced again. And, you know, in a way, it's interesting because the Democrats abandoned Texas 3 decades ago, effectively. And Beto O'Rourke has been banging on this door and banging this door. Like, he was a presidential candidate, of course, as you said, and dropped out of that pretty quickly. He didn't have the stuff at the time. He just seemed ill-prepared and immature. But he has had the guts to take on Ted Cruz and to take on Greg Abbott, which was really a sort of almost a hopeless task, because Abbott is so well-funded. And, you know, Texas is Texas, and I think that what he's doing is he keeps pushing at the door and nudging it a little bit, and probably eventually some Democrat will get through and he will be given some credit for that. But I never thought for a second he would win the governorship. It's as I say, you know, Greg Abbott is, he's so well funded and he's got such a powerful cabal of people behind him that he was very secure from the outset.
Okay,
I don't think he was ever worried.
That was never going to happen. Marion, there's another name that people might recognise, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who it looks to be the first female governor of Arkansas. Remind us who she is.
Yes, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was, of course, Donald Trump's press secretary back in the day. She followed... was it Sean Spicer she followed?
After
he was unceremoniously dumped from the post. And she was the subject, of course, of the I was, in fact, at the Press Association dinner when one of the comedians spoke about her basically using burnt up lies as eyeshadow, and there was a big outrage about it. But Sarah, she was such an appalling press secretary, as in she lied flat out. And you know, she's the daughter, of course, of Mike Huckabee, who was once running for president at one point, and she was again always going to win that. But you know, in the Where Are We Now, she's done better than Sean Spicer, who ended up on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, she's a governor now, but, you know, never say never to Dancing with the Stars. I think we should all abide by that one. Marion, thanks so much.
If only I could dance, I'd be honoured.
Thanks so much again, Marion. Take care. Marion McKeown there, okay. U.S. correspondent with the Business Post.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.